Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
Juan, this is Trent Roberts with From the Cart Path, and I am blessed to have a couple of guests with us this week. Our first guest is Krista Tenno, as she is the head women's coach for the Seminole State Raiders. Since 2007, the former LPGA Tour player was named the 2018 LPGA National Coach of the Year and Southeast Section Coach of the Year by the LPGA membership in 2008, 12, and 15. During her tenure as the coach, and many people in Indiana understand what it's like to have five titles, especially those IU fans, she has five national championships, 2015, 19, 21, 22, and 23. Five runner-ups in 14, 16, 17, and 18, and two third-place finishes at the NJCAA national event. That's quite the feat, and that's quite the accomplishment, if you ask me. We also have a Hoosier with us tonight, and that's Allison Seitz. She's currently a freshman at Seminole State and is a graduate of Lawrence Central High School, where she was Athlete of the Year at her high school in 2024. Probably the first golfer, maybe, Allison. Allison was a four-year Varsity Letter Award winner. She also made it to the IHSA State Championships as an individual player two times. She made the All-State Golf Team in 2024 and was an honorable mention academic All-State, which was BS, by the way, because when you have a 4.67 out of a 4, I don't understand how that wasn't All-State. By the way, her dad had a 5.38 GPA in high school, and that was out of a 12.
What?
Not really. I just wanted to make that up just in case he's listening. And then we have Lauren Smith with Path for Success, who was instrumental in getting Allie in front of Coach and getting her down to Seminole State. So we want to talk about a few things tonight. One is Allie's recruiting experience. One, the junior college experience. And I want Coach to talk about her time at Seminole State. So this is going to be a fun conversation. And Lauren, I'm going to let you get it started.
So I'll ask the first question, and thank you both for joining, obviously. And thanks, Trent, for hosting us. But Allison, I mean, we go back a few years, and when you started the recruiting process, what year were you as a high school athlete when you really decided, hey, I think college golf is for me?
I mean, when I first started playing, I really wanted to play college golf because my mentality is, why do something if you don't want to be good at it? And as I was going and started playing, I realized that, like, I could actually play college golf. I think it was probably my sophomore year when it like started to become real. I was like, oh, I actually need to start doing the recruiting process, and I need to start emailing schools and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I met you late in your sophomore year going into your junior year. And, you know, I talked to your dad and you and your mom quite a bit. And we were trying to connect you to some schools. And one day I kind of came, you know, with my experience of being a college golf coach and, you know, some of my connections in the college golf world, I came up with this idea and presented it to your dad and just said, hey, have y'all ever considered looking at junior colleges for Allison? And I know your academic pedigree is so high. I knew the academics weren't going to be an issue for you. And, you know, it's something we sat down and we looked at a few schools that might, you know, make sense for you and where you were in your golf game. And you made a visit to Seminole State, I believe. And tell us a little bit about that visit and kind of what, you know, triggered you to kind of fall in love with Seminole State.
Well, when you first like presented me with the question, I remember that phone call. Yeah. Of junior colleges, I was like, why would I go to a junior college? Like, I have a really high GPA. Like, I want to, you know, I want to do school. Why would I go to a junior college? And I remember you telling me, well, you can get 2 years in your junior college and then you can transfer out, still go to a 4-year, play another 4 years. And I remember you saying, we played against Seminole State, and they beat us all the time. And I was like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe I should go there. And I reached out to coach, and during my visit, I, like, at that point in the recruiting process, I kind of had, because I wasn't getting any emails from, you know, Division II NAIA programs. Nobody was emailing me back. This was October of my senior year. I hadn't committed yet. And I'm down in Florida for a visit with coach. And I just remember looking at all the facilities that we have here, especially like the mental facilities, the, you know, I got to play with the team. I got to see coach like on the course actually coaching, which was like not crazy, but like I never really had a coach on the course all the time. And I just remember thinking, like, to me, this kind of feels like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I go here? I don't lose anything in terms of school. I can do 2 easy years of school, and at least for me, easy years. I can then go to a top program after that, and I don't lose anything. I only gain experience and time actually playing competitive tournaments, actually playing competitive golf.
Yeah, and I think that's what we want to ask Coach Tino. And, you know,
right now I've been announcing saying her name wrong, Lord. You didn't say anything to me.
So, and Coach Tino, that's a great question for you. When you're, you know, looking at recruits and you have kids come to you, what's the advantage of kids going the junior college route?
Well, first of all, thank you, Lauren, for sending Allison my way. We've had a really good year together, and she has gotten really, really good.
Yeah.
I fight every day with in my recruiting process trying to convince kids that the junior college is a really good route. I'm attracted to the kids that are late bloomers, the kids that struggle in the classroom, the kids that struggle with English, because I am a real coach at heart. I want to coach. I want to help kids get better in their golf game and improve their study habits and help them learn to get along in the world and make better choices. So the junior college, that's what we offer these kids, yeah, is that second chance to catch up.
Yeah.
And all of my kids, I can't think of anyone in the last 12 years that hasn't signed at either D1 or D2 school on a full scholarship. And these kids did not have those kind of opportunities before they got to Seminole State. So I'm very proud that in those 2 years, our kids blossom enough to get noticed by some real quality programs. And that's how I measure myself. But it is a lot of coaching, and it's a lot more coaching that I'm sure they're doing at the D1 level. But we cover every base. There's nothing, I don't think we leave anything out. Hey, Allison, there are some things we don't do just because my kids might not be ready for it. Some of them are, but yeah, we work on everything from changing mental states to chipping and putting and driver setup and launch angles and everything, decision making, what side of the tee box to stand on it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's all those important things. And I think, you know, Seminole State, you are the perfect example of why Seminole State is so successful. And I think, you know, especially when I'm telling kids all the time, you don't have to just go D1. There are other opportunities out there. And it's my job to make sure that they see those opportunities. And, you know, what you just said is a perfect example of how someone can go and be coached by you for 2 years and then they clearly have opportunities, you know, in 2 years when that time comes. So that's, I mean, it's amazing to see.
Allie, what has been the biggest part of your year and the changes that you have gone through?
Two things. The biggest thing that, and I knew I needed this going in, what is the mental side. Like, we have, like, our mental training that we do here, nobody else has anywhere. And we're doing mental training as a team every Tuesday and Thursday. And we're able to go in more in the beginning of the year when I was, you know, working through some stuff. I was in there, like, every single day doing mental training. And then we have, like, so many people that we work with. John Weir, who does, like, mental golf type, and I'm just able to text him and have a meeting with him. And I think that's been the biggest change. Like, I was just saying, the last tournament that we played, I'm actually on the course confident. I told the person that we work with mental training with, she was on the course, and I said, every time I stand over the ball, I actually think I'm going to hit it where I want to. I don't think I'm going to hit it bad. And, like, that, I was saying, like, that's never happened to me. There's always that, like, thought in the back of my mind of, like, I could hit it bad, but I was telling her, like, I'm not thinking that. That's been the biggest thing. And then we also have so many people to work with. Like, obviously we have coach with technique, but we have, like, so many experts working with technique. So I've just gotten to work on my swing and also just, like, fine tune things, like learning flighted wedges and, like, learning how to, like, spin a chip shot, not just hit a chip shot, but, like, spin a chip shot, just, like, those more, like, minute things that, like, I mean, I'm not perfect at them yet, but actually knowing how to do that. Those have been the biggest things.
Well, Allie, one of the things that your dad gave me feedback on when he came down to see you this last time was the change. He saw you grow up from a high school player to an elite player in a short time period, just by watching you and how your response was on the golf course to a bad shot or something else, where in the past where your dad might be like, oh great, here we go, mentally in his own mind, to where next thing you know, you're put 8 feet from the green, where he may not have felt that you could have accomplished that in the past. And that's nothing wrong with the thought process. That's just, I think that's how your thought process was. So for him to tell me that, and even Sophie makes some comments to me after her practice round with you a few weeks ago, and just your understanding of the game, because I'm always one that's going to believe is whatever you decide to do in life, if you don't go that pathway, I think everybody on this podcast knows you could probably become a swing coach or a coach somewhere, just from knowing you. Coach, what were some of the things that you saw in her when she first got down there that you wanted to make sure you worked on and to where you see her now?
Well, Allison was pretty upfront with me about her goals and the fact that the mental program that we offer at Seminole State was a good fit for her. So, I mean, these things didn't come overnight, and there wasn't buy in absolutely immediately. You know, everything is a step-by-step process for all of the kids. But fortunately, we started to see some progress pretty quick with Allison. And once that kind of stuff started happening, things just snowballed, and she hopped on the bus pretty fast. I also want to say that I have friends of the program. One of I think my fortes is how I develop relationships. We have people that want to help our kids, and it's not because of me. It's because they fall in love with the kids that come and play for Seminole State. And these are some elite coaches, like the coaches at the Mike Bender Golf Academy, Cheryl Anderson, Peter Baker, you know, Chris Holmes. All of them want to come and help us. Well, Allison and Peter kind of took a big liking to each other, and Allison, when it was, she was spending all her extra time over with Peter. And Peter is a numbers guy. He's a technician that I'm not, that I don't take it to the max like him. Allison was super attracted to that. Numbers don't lie. And so there were a couple of little things in her golf swing coupled with the change in her perspective of her of herself that when brought together, just some big things started to happen. Really cool things.
Yeah, I think it's a joy to watch her grow. Obviously, there's a lot of personal relationships there with the family, and just hearing her dad speak constantly. One of my favorite stories is when you talk about Peter. Dave told me the story, Allie, when Peter gave you his ability to go online and schedule with him. And your dad's response to me was, I don't think Peter realized what he just did. And I know Allie and her practicing and how much she loves to be on the course and trying to perfect the craft that she has fallen in love with. So that was kind of funny for me to hear, because I'm like, oh, Peter, you don't know what you did either. So I appreciate everything I hear about what you're doing down there to make your players better, and the program that you're building, that you have built and that you continue to build. It's just fantastic. And I think that's why I want to talk a little bit more about, we've learned about Allie and what you've done. Is that been the constant of what you've built this program to be since day one?
Well, one thing I pride myself on is being able to coach each player differently. And it's why mental golf type is really pretty cool. We don't have time to get into the ins and outs of it, but every player has a different way of learning. They have different strengths and weaknesses. And to me, it's my job to figure all that out quickly. I feel like we don't have a lot of time in 2 years. So if I don't get down to the nitty gritty quick, you know, some days I don't have time for please and thank you. You know, yeah. It's like, hey, we got to get this done. So I have tricks to get everyone headed in the right direction. Using that first month to figure everyone out is kind of the key to how we get going here. And because I've developed so many resources, and let me tell you what, my budget, and I'm sure everyone who's listening here, Lauren, you'll get a kick out of this.
I can't wait.
My budget is $19,000. And that has to pay for all my gear for the kids, golf bags, gloves, balls, umbrellas, rain gear, all that, and travel. And you know what tournaments cost. They average about $2,500.
Yeah.
So I not only fundraise, but most of the stuff we, like Peter doesn't charge us a dime. I mean, these people genuinely help because they want to. But I fundraised for TrackMan and FlightScope. And so we do have all those toys that really help. But our facilities, they don't charge us to be there. And I don't know that the kids all know that. Like we went halfers on a Sam Putlab with Rio Pinar. We get to play there whenever we want. You know, but we own that putting building, that little room. It's called the Seminole State Putt Lab, you know, so just we're really blessed. And when these things just keep happening for us, it really helps me know that yeah, we're doing a lot of the right things at Seminole State. So it's kind of cool.
Well, it's great. And I think college golf and golf in general is so much about relationships that you build. I mean, I tell this to the families we work with all the time. I mean, yeah, you're going to be competitors on the golf course, but usually at the end of the day, you can walk off and feel like you've maybe made a friend, even if you're, you know, trying to beat them. And I think the more resources, the better. And obviously your team over the past years has benefited from those connections that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I've already said, props to you for what you do, because you make women's golf a better place to be. So, for sure. And I've seen that firsthand. So
cool. Thank you.
That's been the big thing for us too, is to make sure, obviously as a father of a daughter that plays, that's our goal, right? We want to make women's golf more accessible. We want to grow the game, and we want to make sure we're doing all the right things to make them great players. And I like hearing you speak. It's like, man, I wish I had some eligibility left and you had a men's team so I could come play for you. I might be able to pass some JUCO classes and be proud of myself for that. Now, how did you end up at Seminole State to begin with?
It's kind of a funny story. When I left the tour, in fact, the whole time I was on tour, I still taught in my off season. And I really am a teacher coach by nature. I found it difficult on tour just because of how obsessed you have to be with yourself, yeah. You know, and I'd rather be out working with someone else. But I was teaching John Scarpino, who was the registrar at Seminole State and kind of the assistant athletic director. So I taught him for a couple years, and his best friends and his kids, you know, that. And so we had a nice relationship. Well, he told me that they are going to start a women's golf program. And asked if I would be interested, and I immediately said no. I said no. And he said, why not? I said, because right now I get to create my own schedule, come and go as I please. I have a dream life. I said, why would I want to start coaching that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? Come
literally
on.
Never off.
And I said, I've never done it before. Coaching is a whole different animal. And he said, oh. Anyway, probably 6 or 7 months later, he brought it up again. And he said, Krista, the funding is there. They're opening the position. Would you reconsider and please send your resume in? And again, I said no. Again. And so a week later, he said, okay, this is the last time I'm going to ask. Will you send in your resume? I said, sure, I'll send my resume in. But John, this is not what I want.
He wasn't going to stop until he got what he wanted.
No. And I cannot believe this. I went through 2 or 3 interviews. And oh my God, I'll never forget. I was out walking my dog and my phone rang. It was John. And he said, well, Krista, the school's made a decision, and I'm calling to give you, to tell you that you're the next, that you are the first women's golf coach at Seminole State College. And I didn't say anything. My stomach did a somersault. and I got hot, and I thought, oh, crap. Holy shit, my life has just changed. My first, how many years? Maybe 3 or 4 years. It was a part-time decision or a part-time position. So I'm still teaching 5-6 lessons a day and coaching, and I'm living 45 minutes from school. So it's a nightmare. And I'm learning how to recruit. We had nothing. My office was in a closet. We had no team, no equipment, no golf courses, no nothing. And I know, so I called the only coach I really knew, and that was Jamie Howell at Eastern Florida. And I said, Jamie, can I come and talk to you? He said, what's going on, Krista? And I said, I just got the job at Seminole State. He said, come on over. So he was so fantastic. You know, he showed me a copy of his team handbook, you know, things like that. And he just told me how he spent his days, you know, with the kids and stuff like that. In the meantime, I had phoned every one of my LPGA buddies, got lists of all their juniors. I started finding out what the junior tours were. I knew nothing. I felt like a dum-dum. So I can't believe it, but I put a team of 8 kids together that first year.
Wow.
And we're pretty darn good. I mean, we were shooting under 320, you know?
That's good for your first year.
I had 4 kids that stayed the next year. And of those 4 kids, every single one of them transferred and played 4 more years. Wow. And I am tight with all of them still. They're my little babies. And oh my God, they'll tell you some funny stories.
Are they on the quilt?
Pardon? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So after 4 years, though, I went to full time, and then 13 years, we moved to Sanford. So life, I'll tell you, has gotten a lot easier. I teach still a little, but only to present students and any referrals from them. I don't have time anymore, and I'm getting older. My hair is gray.
Understandable. I think you do a pretty darn good job. So
I had a lot of lessons to learn. I tell you what, I had 1 year I didn't think I was going to make it. It was a bad group of kids. I bought the book, Why Good Coaches Quit. It's in my library in my golf room here. And The Rollins coach said, Chris, it's years like that where you grow the most. Just hang in there.
Absolutely.
And I did. I really learned more about how to recruit and some different signs, and, you know, just got better at it, you know? So yeah, it's been a great journey for me, and one that has helped me grow as a human. And I'm very grateful for that. Coaching makes me better.
It does. I know you get a lot of international students. How do you find those players, or how do they find you?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, we've got a pretty cool reputation at Seminole State of having an extremely good language program. We don't require a TOEFL, so that helps. But they must graduate from our language program, and it's intense. All of the kids that get through it make A's in English 1 and 2 and go on to finish their degrees. Like Pearl, who She's starting a master's program. She spoke zero English when she got here. Minori graduated from Oregon, spoke no English. Ty finished at Kennesaw and then went to South Carolina for her COVID year. These kids spoke so little English. So that coupled with our success has gotten the attention of a lot of good coaches who send me kids. Chris, I can't get this player in this year. Will you take her for 2 years? And then that kind of thing. It really happens a lot. And then I've made friends with different recruiters all over the country and overseas. And it's repeat business now. Yeah. Like the kids I graduated 5-6 years ago, they're still sending me kids. So
don't you think that's kind of how the recruiting world works, though, once you make those connections?
Do you know how many emails I get a year from kids? Do you want to guess?
I mean,
I'm going to go with 500 to 1,000 a year.
No.
It's probably 500 every 2-3 weeks.
No. 25, maybe. That's how little interest kids have in junior colleges.
That's, yeah.
So I have to go find these kids.
Yeah.
Because no one is knocking on my door.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that way with the guys' programs, but it's really sad that people just don't look down that D1, D2, D3, NAIA, and then they stop.
Well, that was my biggest thing with Allison and her dad. I mean, I said, you know, these programs have like the highest reputation you can get. And another question I want to ask you though, but you know, and that was my point to Allison. Like you'll be playing a competitive schedule against really good D1 teams for the most part. And I think that's such a misconception with junior college golf. And so could you speak a little bit about that, coach? Like how do you create your schedule, and you know, what does that look like for your kids that you bring in?
Well, I knew right away if I was going to attract talent, I had to present them with a competitive schedule. And fortunately in Florida, you don't have to travel far. Yeah. And fortunately, there are enough coaches in Florida that looked at Seminole State College as a recruiting opportunity.
Yeah.
So having me play in their events gave them firsthand access to watch my kids play.
Right.
I mean, I've sent several kids to Flagler in this, you know, yeah, in the beginning, and actually last year as well. And all these schools recognize that. We played more D2 events and NAIA in the beginning just because we weren't at that elite level yet. But right, every single year I forged new relationships and got the nerve up to ask more and more people to play in their tournament. I got really lucky 4 or 5 years ago. One of my juniors played for Auburn, a guy, his name's Jay Mosley. He went to school with the UCF coach who I got to know very well. And then she ended up going to Louisville. Well, Louisville hosts their 2 big events in Melbourne, just down the road. Yeah. So we got an invitation. We finished freaking 3rd in that tournament against Michigan. I mean, Oklahoma. That year we were so stacked. It was crazy. But that's just how things happen. Like Western Kentucky hosts a great event in Central Florida. They invite us to. I'm friends with the Mercer coach. Michelle always has us up there. I made friends with the JU coach, so we started getting invited to their event. Yep. And the Stetson always had us. I was friends with Patty Rizzo in Miami. And so just through the generosity of others, and just getting a nice reputation. FIU invites us to their event, and he's got one of my players. Yep. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. Coach, it's a no-brainer to me. Everything you're telling me, when you talk about you're getting 25 emails, that blows my mind, because this literally is a no-brainer to me. When I'm watching Allison, literally this last year, her game's transformed. She's talked about the mental game. She's talked about everything she's gone through to get to where she's at today. And I don't think you're done with her, from the sounds of it, to get her so she can go to that next level and play at a higher level. When I'm hearing that, and I hear kids go, why would I go to the JUCO level? And I'm sitting here going, do you really want to go to that D2 mid program? Or what are you trying to accomplish? What's your goal? And I just don't think they look at that. And I'm looking at it going, 2 years focusing on my game, take some classes that aren't so difficult for some people, while focusing on your game, where do I sign up?
Well, academically, basically we're getting all their core courses taken care of in a smaller in classroom size. Yep. So, we do I think we do a really good job of staying on top of academics. It's a small enough department that we have a lot of checks and checkpoints where no one slips through any cracks and doesn't graduate So academically, I believe we rank pretty high up there.
I think it's great. Yes. And that's what you're going to do your first 2 years anyways.
Yes, exactly. So you're not missing out.
No.
And if you need to be in trigonometry, like Jane, when she took the SAT or in the math class that she was put in was like the highest one we offer. You know what I mean? So she got to... but we have all that we need, so you don't come here and.
Yeah. You definitely don't feel like you're lacking. And
no, are not lacking.
And Allison, to that point, talk about what's it been like, to play in a competitive schedule and see maybe some of those coaches of programs that you might be eyeing down the road. What's that been like for you?
I think it was when I was looking at Seminole, one of the biggest things that I considered. It's nice to go to tournaments, and when you're playing junior golf, you're taking your score that you played at, in Indiana, we play some good tournaments, tough courses, it's not easy, but if you're 15 hours away, like I am, I could send my scores to coach and she doesn't know if I what the course is like, all those things. So when you're playing the tournaments, it's a direct one-to-one comparison. You can say, and we all do it at the end of the tournament. We're in the van and we're going, oh, I played just as good as the Stetson team, or oh, I played just as good as whatever team. I could go there. And it's that direct comparison. And because that's kind of, we're all always thinking, where am I going next? Where am I going next? Even though we try to not, but you do recruiting in high school, and then you get into college and you're like, oh, no more recruiting, but you got to do recruiting again. And it's nice to see that direct comparison. And I mean, we play with such good schools that even for me personally, it was less anxiety inducing seeing playing with these girls and being like, oh, so when I played with a girl that goes to a top program and she's really great, but there aren't that many things that she does that I don't do. Oh, I have potential, those types of things where and you get to actually see how the coaches are on the course, and you get to see, like, you get to ask the girls, and, you know, they're not looking at you from like a potential recruit. You get to ask them questions about, that's one thing I do when I'm playing. I'm always asking the girls I'm playing with, so what do you guys do for practice? How's your coach? Like, all those types of things. Like, every tournament is an opportunity. And after every tournament, we have, like, people there. I mean, my teammates, they're getting, like, emails from coaches, and people are looking at them, like, those things. And it's, you're getting way more opportunities than you would ever get in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And as much as I tell them, I will make sure you are well taken care of, they still fret. And that's one of the, you know, and mentally we have to learn to let that go.
Yeah.
But I think they're all realizing now, come the end of their freshman year, Allison's class, that they will not have a problem finding a really good top-notch program.
Yeah, yeah.
On top of the fact that I know who the cool coaches are.
You know everyone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because not everyone is the same. And everyone runs a different kind of program.
Yep.
And it's not good or bad. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the nice thing, Coach. Like, when we talk about schools, you know, like, we'll talk and you just, I feel like you just know. Like, the mm-hmm. other day, I'll say, oh, what about this school? And you're like, oh, yeah, I know. So you always know somebody. I know so-and-so, yeah, that would be a good fit, or, oh, they're a good program, but maybe not for you. Maybe their coach is more, like, you know, less structured, like, maybe that program's not for, like, those types of things that, like, yeah. mm-hmm. you don't get that unless if you're, you know, there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the cool part is coach knows her players. She knows which mm-hmm. player is going to fit where based upon personality and the other coach's personality. So that's a benefit that we don't have right now, Lauren. If you talk about going through the process, some of the players you have right now,
yeah.
there's not that benefit.
Yeah.
It's, you get to know the players and the families like you do with some of us. You've gotten to know us pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider Lauren a good friend now, and mm-hmm. I feel bad for her that she has to talk to me now and then. but I will tell you is, when you're a parent going through this recruiting process with your child, the best part I've done is said, Lauren, she's yours. But what Lauren didn't realize is she also got hired to be my therapist for the next 2 years. So when we're going through this process, and that's kind of one of the things that's been great about doing this, is I'm learning from her. And the cool part for you, Coach, is, and Lauren knows this, every parent I see out there that has a 26 or a 25 player that hasn't had a home, or there's young ladies here in Indiana that I see in the same position as Allie, where they were late bloomers. They've got potential. And I'm going to their parents going, have you looked at this route? Have you thought about this route? And they'll just look at you and like, why would we go that route? And I go, why wouldn't you? They get 2 years to work on their game. They get to get their core classes out of the way, and they'll still have 4 years left to the next place they go to. So now they can get their graduate degree on top of their undergraduate degree. Look at it. Send the emails.
We're hyping up the JUCO route. For
yeah,
sure.
We are. And well, I just think especially when you're going through against a lot of these recruits, sometimes the kids from Indiana aren't seen. Allie said it best, when you're sending scores from Indiana, some of our bigger tournaments right now have been end of March, all of April. I love to see Seminole State come play at Purdue when it's 38 degrees outside and potential for snow. And the scores are going to be different than when we're down in Florida at 75 degrees weather. 75 degrees.
I agree. One of my goals is to be able to have a trip during season up north. I think that will be a great recruiting opportunity or a recruiting tool. But that is one of my future goals, is to go to Michigan or Purdue would be a great, they have a great event.
They do. I actually just went to it to go watch one of the players that we're friends with. And
okay, cool.
It was 44 degrees and 20 mile per hour winds, but I walked it, and sometimes
harder than it sounds so bad right now.
Sometimes you got to put a little something extra in your coffee to stay warm. not that we did that, but I get it. So it's I get you. It would be good to see you guys up here, and you've got all the connections, Coach. Lauren, you have anything else, or?
I mean, this has been great, and I think, you know, the point of the chat was to kind of open people's minds to the other opportunities that are out there, and obviously Allison is a great example from your state of how this route has worked for her, and I think, you know, Coach Tino has obviously talked highly of her and having her being a part of the Seminole State family, so. I mean, I just appreciate both of your times, and I know Nationals is coming up, so we want to wish you the best of luck with that too. And now, Kansas.
Yeah. Now, where in Kansas is that? We tried to find it on a map, and we haven't had luck yet.
Well, we fly into Wichita and then drive, I think, 2 hours plus east.
Look at Allie's face.
It's in Garden City. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's still much I haven't revealed.
That's going to be a long City. Day.
They have a Epson Tour event there. They've had one at this golf course for 3 years now. It's a really good golf course.
It looks like a good golf course. We talked it a little bit before you jumped on. But
I think Alex excited about the bent grass.
We talked about that today with Peter. Yeah, I'm excited to putt on bent grass at the grain. Yeah.
They're very readable. We putted very well 2 years ago when we won. They've redone 6 greens, so I'm a little disappointed because my yardage books were amazing.
Yeah.
And they've redone, I think, 3 or 4 holes. So can't get as much ahead of time work done as I would have wanted, but that's okay. They'll be ready.
Still have the good juju going out there though.
Yeah, we do.
You do. And I'm excited to see it. I know, Allie, your dad was quite excited that they're going to have live scoring. He does. You know, Dave is a lot like me when it comes to when you're not there. And it's hard as a parent when you're not there, when you care as much and you care about everybody on that team. He's like me, Live 360. And where's she at on the course? Oh my gosh, she's in the water. Dave, she's not in the water. The GPS doesn't. My favorite is when the kids pop up, how come they're in somebody else's house? No, they're not in the house. So,
oh God.
We're excited to see how Seminole State does. To be honest with you, I want to see you guys do great. And we want to see Allison perform quite well. We know she will. And Allie, we're proud of you. I know Lauren's proud of you. I'm proud of you. And I know everybody back home is proud of you. And Coach Tino, how lucky are we to have you come on here and talk about the JUCO route and how great it would be for players to look at that. And I challenge to those who listen, and I'm going to put it out there as well, let's get you some more emails. I want you to come in one day and be like, why do I have 50 emails on here? I get 500 emails a day. Don't send me any. We wish you luck and we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having Allison and I on here. It's been a blast.
Yes.
And Lauren, it's good to see you doing something that you are really, really good at.
Oh, she is.
For sending Allison my way.
Of course. Thank you. And
she's fantastic. Yes. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Card Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.